Hey everyone, welcome to Get Psyched, a podcast about fascinating psychology topics and mental wellness. We're your hosts, Stella
and Eva. This is a super exciting episode because we have our first guest speaker on the podcast, and I'll hand it off to Stella, who will be introducing our guest today.
Our guest today is Dr. Josh Davis, Columbia PhD. He's the current chief scientist and senior faculty at Mentora Institute, which is actually where I've met him. He was also the former director of research for the Neuro Leadership Institute. He's a writer, a neuro coach, a professor, a speaker. The list just keeps going on. We're so excited to have you here. Could you tell us a little more about what you do?
Yeah, I'd love to. The work that I do is basically trying to take what research says, the behavioral sciences, psychology, neuroscience, sometimes, reading up on some of the other behavioral sciences, maybe what's happening in psychotherapy, and figuring out what can we use? What would it mean day to day? How would I actually live my life differently? And writing about that, or, oftentimes there's actually a big appetite inside of big companies for that. Certainly in education, there's a big appetite. One thing that you probably have all heard, a term that you've all heard, which comes from psychology research, is growth mindset. So if you haven't, I'm happy to talk about it. So taking these ideas and trying to figure out, well, what would it actually mean? How would I use it? How would this change my day to day in terms of being more of a person who I want to be, or living the life I want to live, or doing my work more effectively, or being less stressed out, those kinds of challenges.
Yeah, that sounds super interesting and really impressive. We're excited to learn more about your work as we dive into some questions. But before that, we wanted to thank you again for being on this podcast, since, as we mentioned before, you're our first guest speaker.
I'm honored.
So moving on, today we'll be talking about time management, which is one of the many topics Josh has presented on. His book, Two Awesome Hours, Science-Based Strategies to Harness Your Best Time and Get Your Most Important Work Done, is an international bestseller that goes into great detail on how to effectively manage your time so that you get the most out of it. This is a relevant topic as many of our club members and our audience are students who like to procrastinate, whether that be by watching Netflix, going on TikTok, Instagram, whatever. And so we hope you enjoy this episode and learn something useful.
So, Josh, our first question for you is, what inspired you to write Two Awesome Hours, and could you briefly go into what it's about?
Yeah. So, I was having an experience that you may have had probably many times, certainly every single person, literally every single person I know has had this experience where I would just I'd be working hard all day long. I felt like I was just constantly going at it, and I'd come home and I'd still feel bad about myself. I'd just be like, what? I'm not productive. I'm not getting things done. I don't feel, like I'm making progress here, but what am I supposed to do? I'm like working all the time. And it was such a violation of my values. It just didn't feel right. And I know that's the case for many people, but we also kind of feel like, well, what am I supposed to do, right? There's only so much time in the day. If there's all these things that I either need to or want to do, what am I supposed to do, right? I just need to kind of like stay at it. And yet it was like, this can't be, this is not okay as a way to live life, right? So there was then a period of time where I was both continuing to learn about what others had written on the topic, and also reflecting quite a bit myself and experimenting. One of the things that really was a turning point was I recognized something. You've probably had this experience, right? That there's some days where you're just like, you're hitting it out of the park. You sit down like just in the morning, you've taken care of 10 things that you like just couldn't get to all week or all month, right? And you're just like knocking them down, and it's good quality stuff. And you're just like, you're on fire. And then you can have like 3 days in a row where you just feel worthless. it's a little bit, harsh to say it that way, but sometimes we beat ourselves up that much. But I feel like I'm just, I can't seem to get anything done, right? And so I started to take that seriously. I started to think, well, wait a second. It's maybe instead of just thinking, oh, hey, I got lucky today, or things just happened to fall together, are there some factors that lead to that reliably? And then that really launched what I was looking for when I went through looking through the research. What do we know? How do you set up? Is there a way to set up those periods of time when you're just on fire? Could you do it at will? Could you do it all day long? Could you do it part of the time? You know, what goes into that? And so here's where I kind of landed on 2 hours. Now, 2 hours is not a, you know, it's not a magic number. It's not something where research has said it's precisely 2 hours and it's the same for everyone. But what I was starting to recognize is that many of the same things that help set us up to have these, to really be at our best for these periods of time where we're working so efficiently, so productively, we're so focused, that many of those things are also things that lead to work-life balance, that they're almost opposite from having a day where you're just trying to sit at your computer all day and get things done. So 2 hours is something that I believe is reasonable and achievable the first time you try it. As soon as you start learning some of these things, you could probably set yourself up to have two awesome hours. And if you were to start thinking of your day in terms of, when are my two awesome hours going to be? What's the important stuff I need to do? How am I going to set myself up to be there for that, to like really be fully present and awesome for that time, rather than how am I going to pack it all in? That's a different way of thinking about your day, thinking about what's important, thinking about how to get to it. If you start thinking about your day and yourself that way, then you're going to be able to get to the important stuff, do it in a way where it's really good, and also have greater balance, also not wear yourself out as much. So it's kind of a goal to have in mind that's reasonable and achievable for anyone, I think.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I do definitely relate to that concept of feeling like a hamster on a wheel, like I'm constantly working, but I'm not getting anywhere. And that cycle of peak productivity one day followed by multiple days of doing nothing and not feeling productive at all can be really exhausting and taxing, even on your mental health. And some things I used to think was, oh, maybe if I write a journal the night before, I'll be more productive. Or if I try and declutter my mind through yoga or meditation, it'll work out better. But ultimately, they didn't work out. And so I think that's a sentiment that a lot of our listeners can relate to and are curious about.
Mm-hmm. So you've tried some various things yourself. Yeah. I was going to ask, so how did it work for you to do the journal? You know, and so that one wasn't making the difference.
No, unfortunately not.
Yeah. On a similar note, our next question is like whether there's a difference between productivity and efficiency and what like peak productivity or efficiency would look like. Is it a state of mind kind of thing where you're like in the moment you feel like so productive, or is it a disciplined study session kind of thing?
Yeah. So there's I want to separate two pieces of that question. So this state of mind, the discipline study session kind of thing, that part of it, I'll answer first. I think there are so many different types of mental work that we do, and they're not going to be all the same. And you might not need to set yourself up in the same way. Like there's some things for which I really want to be energized and alert and in a positive mood. There's some things where it actually might help me to be a little bit anxious, you know, and as to help my focus, to help keep me thinking about, you know, being vigilant. So it's not precisely the same. So it depends on what it is that I need to do. There's some things where I'm going to need to have a calm state where I can just kind of be ready to do a lot of taking in new information, and other times where I want to be ready to act fast. So it's not always going to be precisely the same thing that I need to set myself up for. But then this question then, so for whatever kind of work it is, there are some things that are universal. There are quite a few, probably more are universal than not, in my opinion. This distinction between efficiency and productivity, there are certainly some positive things about being efficient, right? So like, could I do the same work in less time? That definition of being efficient, of course. Why wouldn't you? In fact, that's kind of what we're heading for. The way we commonly think of efficiency, many people commonly think of efficiency, it's about kind of how do I pack in more? How do I kind of try to solve this problem in terms of a time puzzle? And if that's the problem you're trying to solve, you've already lost. if you're trying to look at your calendar and just fit everything in and assuming that a certain time is going to take, and you've already lost. You're not going to be able to bring out your best. You're just going to find yourself working all day. So efficiency is kind of this idea of trying to solve this time puzzle. How can I pack it in and just like get more done in a day? If that's the focus, then I think that that's going to really lead you astray. So that's why in the book, I talk about how efficiency isn't the right metric we should be looking for. It's effectiveness or productivity, you might say. There, what I'm talking about is the fact that because we can be so wildly different, you know, one day it can take you an hour to do something amazing. Another day it can take you 8 hours. I mean, there really can be these vast differences. It's not usually that extreme, but it really can be. And I think from time to time, we've all experienced a range that large, mm-hmm. right? Because the range is so big, if I focus on how am I going to be my most effective, the efficiency will follow. I will then become a lot faster, and not just faster at doing the same thing, which is kind of what efficiency is really about, but I will actually be faster and better. So that's a distinction that I want to focus on that I think for some people may help them start to shift their mindset towards solving a new problem. Solving a problem of how do I set myself up to be at my best for the work that matters. There's a lot of stuff that you can't like ignore forever. There's some emails you really want to get back to. There's some homework assignments that are not interesting to you and you're not learning a lot, but it's good practice, or at least you have to do it, right? Those things, you don't need to be at your best for that. You need to do it. And there are certainly times of the day, almost every day, where you're not going to be at your best. You know, so let's learn to save those things for those times, right? And so we might, part of it is just then reorganizing the day, you know, because you might just automatically have some really good hours. Let's say in the morning is more common for many people, but for some people in the evening or in the middle of the day. For me, it's the 3 or 4 hours after I exercise. It doesn't matter what time of day.
So I guess there is like a level of self-awareness that kind of plays into this of knowing when your most effective peaks are throughout the day?
Mm-hmm. There's self-awareness about when it happens for you typically, mm-hmm. but there's also self-awareness about as the day is going, every day is different. You might've had a different amount of sleep. You might have different stressors on your mind. You know, various things are different. And being aware, you can learn to be aware of, am I really in a position to be doing this work right now? Or is it actually smarter for me just to turn off my computer and go do something else right now and come back? Am I actually going to get better work done probably more quickly if I do that, right? Or am I, what happens more often is actually you reprioritize when you're able to be aware of those things and step back and recognize, wait a second, I'm actually really firing on all cylinders right now. Let me adjust my schedule, you know, or I'm really not. Let me adjust what I'm doing when. And most people have some flexibility in their schedule to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm. And just on that same note, what should we do if we don't have that level of self-awareness yet and we're trying to get a feel for it for the first time? Would it be unwise to plan out our days hour by hour because we don't know when our energy peaks would be?
Yeah, you know, I'm someone who likes to think of it as there's not one right way to get there. So experimenting is the best. So I wouldn't say don't do it. You could try it. You know, if you're someone who wants to try it, you have a hypothesis about when you're going to have your best time, try it out. And if it's not working, then don't stick with it for more than a couple of days, you know, then shift and try something else out. I personally am someone who finds that there's enough variability that it's best for me not to schedule that out unless I do have things like delivering a program or I, you know, I have a meeting or something like that that's actually scheduled. But otherwise, you know, it's more about, well, what's most important and, you know, or what's going to need my best thinking. And I'll try to get that first. Right. And then I also juggle like urgency and deadlines, things like that. You know, but so a little bit of thinking about that. Some people like to do that thinking the night before or at the beginning of the week. Some people, you know, I do some of each. I do a little bit of thinking at the beginning of the week about the whole week's priorities. I do a little bit of thinking the night before, but then day of, I give myself the flexibility to make changes. I don't follow it rigidly. so that I can pay attention to this. But there is an art to that. You start practicing recognizing, and that's where the first strategy in the book to recognize your decision points is so key, and why I think it needs to be the first strategy, because there's a trick to becoming aware. It's not something you can really do through willpower.
Yeah, I definitely agree. As like students, we find ourselves like not having as much control over our schedules as we'd like. And so I feel like when I was in seventh or eighth grade, I used to like try to plan every minute down. I'd be like, this assignment should take me 5 minutes. This assignment should take me 30 minutes. And I found that I would procrastinate and it wouldn't work out. And I would just like be sort of disappointed and like not feel motivated to do the rest of my work. But like, as I've like gone through high school, I've sort of realized that like just like taking advantage of the times that I do have and like trying to like do my most productive work then is like the best method for me. And it really is trial and error, I think, for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for that example. There's something that happens too, where when you set an expectation, right, it should take me X amount of time, and then it takes you longer, it feels kind of defeating, and it changes your belief about what you're capable of, at least for the short term. Mm-hmm. And thinking like, oh God, now this is going to take even longer. Everything was in place. It only worked if this worked, right?
Yeah.
So, but that's an expectation you set up. Nobody told you it had to be that way. Nonetheless, if that's your expectation, you're going to feel disappointed if you don't meet it. And you don't have to do that to yourself. You know, you don't have to commit that this has to take X amount of time, or else, you know, I'm not productive, or else I'm not smart, or whatever you've set up internally, yeah, right, as your method of motivation, right? And so that's something, although not in the book, it's something I think is such an important thing to recognize. We set up these expectations. There's this lovely quote from someone who has trained many psychotherapists, and he says, disappointment takes adequate planning, right? Yeah. You can't be disappointed unless you plan for something else to happen.
Yeah.
There's something you have to do to become disappointed, but we're often not aware of that. And so that's something we can start to recognize, you know, am I setting myself up for failure by having either an unrealistic expectation or one that doesn't take into account the day-to-day variables in terms of productivity, or whether a question comes up, or distractions, or things like that. And it sounds like you found an alternative by simply not setting those anymore and thinking about the work in a little bit looser terms. It needs to be done by a certain time. I will also say that on the topic of motivation, procrastination is a strategy, and we get rewarded for doing it. And I think this is why many people repeat it. If you kind of break down what's happening, here's something I don't want to do, right? I certainly don't want to take a long time at it. If I procrastinate, I've now created two new contextual variables. One is that I'm anxious, right? Which wasn't the case before. And so the other is that there's now such a limited time frame that I'm willing to relax my expectations about the quality. So I have these two things that I've suddenly changed. And once I've gone into that space where I've got enough anxiety about it, and I no longer am holding myself to the same quality standards, now I'm ready to do it. And I end up doing it faster. The amount of time I spend on it is less than I would have had I started earlier. So it's a strategy for getting things done that you don't really want to get to, or you don't know how to get to. So I just invite everyone listening to think of that as a strategy and start thinking, well, how, if procrastination is so unpleasant, maybe you like it, great, don't change it. But if you don't like it, how else could you get to that same point? If you need to get a little anxious, could you get a little anxious earlier? If holding yourself to too high a bar is getting in the way of even starting, well, what is it that you're really trying to accomplish with this assignment? Maybe you could shift the focus.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting way and a new way to think about procrastination, and kind of viewing it as a strategy that we use to cope with tasks that are too difficult, or a way to reconcile the quality of our work with our perfectionistic ideals. And I think a lot of the times we say things like, I'm not feeling productive today, or I'm feeling super productive today, and we use productivity as an emotion. And so is productivity an emotion? Is it something that we can feel and then not feel?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. I hadn't thought of it that way before. It does feel like something so often. We say, I don't feel productive or feeling productive. And, you know, whatever label you use for an emotion, it's fine. People use different labels. I think what we're getting at there is that I have met my expectations or exceeded them, whatever they were. And that good feeling that comes from that, that optimism that it's going to be possible to do as much or more than I had hoped. You know, that there are things on that were weighing me down that aren't or won't be weighing me down soon. And there are certainly feelings associated with those things. You know, I think at times we've been rewarded for checking things off a list and getting those feelings. So that's the reward, right? And so then it's like, well, let me try that again. Let me see if I can check things off the list. But just trying to check things off the list, it doesn't always work. But, you know, if you're paying attention to whether you have this is the right time to be working on something. And if not, how can I get myself to be at my peak? Or how can I relax some of these constraints so that I'm not making it impossible to succeed? I think then you're paradoxically, although you're not focusing on productivity, you know, on feeling productive, you're more likely to then be productive, you know, and get some of those rewards. Yeah, it's so funny if you break down all the things that we get rewarded for sometimes, you know, and then yeah. I don't know if you guys, you probably learned about variable reinforcement schedules. It's really, you keep trying the same thing if every so often you get rewarded for it,
but not
every time, because you're like, is it going to happen this time? You know, it's just, and so we're lab rats ourselves doing experiments on ourselves.
Yeah, I definitely relate to a lot of what you say, especially like as a perfectionist and as a procrastinator at the same time. I definitely like struggle with that a lot. And so like, I guess the question I have is like, I find myself trying to prioritize doing 3 or 4 things that I need to do in a day, but I also like struggle with ordering those things, and because I feel that all of them are urgent and important. And I guess that's something that our listeners might also feel. And so could you speak a little bit about effectively prioritizing and not getting bogged down with a huge, like gigantic to-do list?
Yeah. there are going to be a lot of things. This is going to be constant, right? Where it's the exception when you don't have too many things that are both urgent and important. And there's been great advice that Stephen Covey gave people starting in the 70s, which is get to the stuff that's important, not urgent, right? That's the quadrant of, you know, if you make a 2x2, the stuff that's important and not urgent is probably actually the stuff that most needs your attention. The stuff that's important and urgent is going to get your attention probably anyway, then there's all the stuff that's urgent. So it feels like important, but it's actually urgent. So there's distinguishing those things, but I actually think that every one of us is capable of really actually recognizing what is the most important stuff. What's going to help me get the grades that I want? What's going to help me actually get the most out of this class? What's going to help me discover whether this is a passion I want to pursue? What's going to help me, you know, so we're all capable of looking at everything that's on our plate and knowing what's the most important to me, both in terms of what I value and what I'm looking to do now, but also in terms of where it will get me. The issue is when we're in the moment throughout the day, we get very reactive. You know, something pops up and, you know, somebody, I'm working on a group project and somebody says, we need this now, this is due tomorrow. Well, it is urgent for them. Right. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it's urgent for me. I agree that this thing has to happen tomorrow. Right. But what is it that we really need to do for tomorrow? Like, so, but it's so in that moment, we've got so much on our minds. This has just come up. It's like, oh God, I don't want to let anyone down. You know, let me try to quickly get this done and send this over to them. I'll just drop everything and do this. This is where learning to kind of create a decision point. Now the thing is, we're on autopilot most of the day. And when I say autopilot, I don't mean that you can't think, you're not conscious. What I mean is that we tend to be fairly reactive. Right now, the three of us are in podcast mode. We're not really paying attention to a lot of the other things in our lives right now. We're reacting to what each other is saying. You ask a question, I'm automatically going into thinking about how to answer it. You're automatically thinking about, how do I tie this together? What's the next question? What are my own personal examples? We're in podcast mode. And when you're in homework mode, you're doing your homework. You're responding to what just came up. You know, we get into these modes and we're kind of on autopilot. We tend to be fairly reactive. That's a good thing most of the time, because we encounter situations that are similar to things we've seen in the past. We don't need a lot of conscious thinking about, should I be sitting here and what should I be doing in this moment? This kind of big picture stuff that's going to require some real conscious decision making. But the thing is, because that's most of the day, we're not in a position most of the time to actually step back and just remember what's important. That's like the real hard part. When do you do this? How do you get yourself to actually do it? And so I don't think it's realistic to expect yourself to just be able to stop what you're doing in the flow of the day and do it. I think you have to capture these rare moments when you're kind of there anyway, or create them. You can schedule them into your calendar. But what happens is that we bring on these conscious resources that really leverage the prefrontal cortex, the part up front that's so much bigger in humans, that we use for the executive functions, for self-control, making decisions, focus. So this part of the brain really comes online in a much more meaningful way when we have to make a decision, when autopilot can't work. So if autopilot can work, it will. It's only when it can't that this comes online. It's like, oh, I'm trying to write something, and I also, my wife has just walked into the room and I really need to talk to her about something, you know, or she really needs to talk to me. Autopilot doesn't handle that, right? There's no like, I have one program for writing, one program for talking to her. What do I do? You know, so all of a sudden though, what's happened is that she snapped me out of my trance. If I learn to recognize that, if I learn to realize, wait a second, I've just been taken off of autopilot. I actually have the ability to think. It might be an unpleasant moment. I might feel unproductive. That feeling, right, that we were talking about before, I might feel unproductive. I might want to get back to work. But there's a gift she's just given me, which is that I now have these mental resources that I didn't a few moments ago. I'm more capable of actually taking in the big picture, reconnecting with what's important, and making a deliberate decision. If I choose to recognize that this moment is happening, if I try to rush through the moment and get back to work, I've lost it. And then I have just become less productive. Now, the thing is, I get started on the wrong task tons of the time. I'm sure 50% of the things I'm doing are not the most important thing for me to be doing. You know, I'm so thankful for these interruptions, because then I get a chance to choose. And if you can start on the wrong task, you could be gone for an hour. You could spend 3 hours responding to emails, right? I mean, that's where time gets wasted. Time doesn't get wasted in these moments when you feel unproductive. Time gets wasted when you've chosen the wrong task. Now, the other thing that you can do is to schedule some of these into your day. You can create these breaks. You know, if you're someone who's willing to respond to your calendar, and you have a little calendar pop up and you're like, okay, I'm just going to put everything down and walk outside for a second, right? Then you can do that. Or you can kind of notice when it's likely to happen. I'm going to get out of class at such and such time. Suddenly I'm going to be, class autopilot will be over and the next thing won't have started yet. Let me capture that moment and just take a few minutes by myself to think about what's important. And I think if you do that, then you keep those things top of mind. Like, okay, yeah, I have gotten this urgent request for tomorrow, but I also have this paper that I've been working on. And I also have really been meaning to call back my mother, and she's, you know, feeling very lonely right now. So I have these three things happening. And I'm thinking about, you know what, I can't call my mother at midnight, right? I'm not willing to let this go for another day. You know, but so you start doing these thoughts, you start figuring it out, you know, you will come up with solutions. If you give yourself the chance to think about what's important and really take it all into account, notice how you're feeling, notice what's on your mind, notice why you're resisting, give yourself those, it might only be 2 minutes, right? But that's where the magic happens, when you remember, you know. And so as many of these moments that you capture and make use of throughout the day, the better. Like, I don't think you can have too many, but I think even if you just did it, you know, twice in a day, it would make a big difference. So that's kind of, I think, one of the biggest shifts. And that's that trick I was talking about earlier about how to become aware, is recognizing these moments when you're more likely to be aware. You know, it's before you started that task. It's first thing in the morning, instead of picking up your phone, you could take a moment. It's only a minute, right? But you don't have to. I actually don't often do it first thing in the morning, because I just feel like getting out of bed and having breakfast, you know, but a lot of people do. And I think that's a great thing to do, and I encourage it. So for me, I do it before I actually start looking at anything on my computer, though. You know, I won't open up my email. I won't start on a task until I've done it, even if I had a good plan from the night before.
And on that note, we'll wrap it up for part one of our interview with Dr. Josh Davis. We learned so much from his insights already, and we're really excited to continue the discussion. So make sure to go check out part two in our next episode.